Welcome, everyone. Today is Sunday, September 6th, 2020. You are listening to the online worship service of the Petaluma United Methodist Church. Thank you for being here. Now is the time in our worship service where we would typically greet each other and pass the peace of Christ. Yes, we are gathered in this moment from many places, unable to see one another, but still held in the warm embrace of Christian community. In this moment, please think of one member of this community who you have not spoken with recently and commit to giving them a call this afternoon. Your love, made visible, will matter a great deal.
St. Clement of Alexandria, living in the 3rd century in Africa, said that the most fervent of prayers we can offer to God is our very lives. We gather now in solemn joy to offer our lives to God in Christian worship. Come, let us open our hearts to the God of love. Come, let us worship.
Our opening hymn is "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
I'm reading the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.
My friends, let us lay down our burdens before God as we name the brokenness that lives in our lives and our hearts as we pray and enter into silent prayers of confession. Let us pray.
Loving God, we hear much in our world about the law and how we must follow it. For us, though, the law is fulfilled and followed by how we love. The truth is this, Lord. We have not followed your royal rule of love. We have not forgiven as you have forgiven us. We have not heard the cries of the poor. We have not reached out to liberate the oppressed. Forgive us, God. Have mercy on us and empower us, we pray, to be your church now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, forgiveness comes to us even when we do not know or sense it. For God has gone the distance, giving even God's self in Christ Jesus so that we might be forgiven. This beautiful reality both humbles and calls us forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, We are all forgiven. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. And in my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. When my heart is almost breaking, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When I'm troubled, walk with me. When my head is bowed in sorrow, I want Jesus to walk with me. With me.
Today's second scripture reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is. How is now the moment for you to wake from sleep? For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. Night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and lasciviousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This ends the second reading.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. My name is Skylar Rhodes. I have the honor of being pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church. It's great to be able to be with you today in the ether. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we come as your people this day to receive inspiration and to unpack the word of the sacred scriptures. As we listen and speak, may the meditations of our common heart and, please God, the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. For you and you alone are our rock and redeemer. You and you alone are the one to whom we owe allegiance. Amen. In Romans 13, 8 to 14, which is our preaching passage for today, I want to focus on that last verse where Paul writes, instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And I'm struck by the image of clothing here. And I want to tell you a story about when I was serving in New York City. I had a wonderful church in Greenwich Village. And there was a guy who actually lived in the church. We had many homeless people in and around our community. And this guy, Jerry, well, let's just say he probably wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. That's not a nice thing to say, but he was a simple fella and a good heart, and he swept up after church and he helped us out. And he was one of the best dressed homeless people you would ever see, always wore a nice black suit. Well, the one he had was getting a little tattered, and he wanted a new suit of clothes more than just about anything. That's what he really wanted. And he even took on some more work at the movie theater across 6th Avenue from us, where he would sweep up and get a little money, and he'd help me out at the church and we'd pay him some. And he saved and saved and saved. And finally, he thought he had enough money for a new suit. So he went down the avenue and went into the men's clothing store, and it was a sight to behold because there were walls and racks and countless numbers of suits beyond measure. And the guy who saw Jerry coming in kind of saw his mark, and he went up to him and he goes, "What can I do for you today, sir?" And Jerry says, "Well, you know, I really need a new suit." And he goes, "I have the one for you." And he reaches into the rack and he pulls out the suit and he hands it to Jerry, and he kind of likes this suit. And he goes, "Well, go try it on." So he goes into the men's fitting room and he comes out in about 10 minutes, and clearly the suit is not going to fit him. I mean, its pant legs were long. The suit arm length was too short. And Jerry goes, "Well, I like the suit, but I don't think this really fits. I don't think it's me." And the salesman goes, No. Just wait a minute, because I think it looks good. All I got to do, look at the pant legs, just bend your knees down some." And he did. And as he bent his knees, as you might imagine, the pant legs lowered down to the right level. But he was sitting there with bent knees. And the guy said, "See, look, they're just perfect." And Jerry goes, "Well, I don't know." And he goes, and about the arms on this jacket, all you do is hunch your shoulders up like that now, you know, and look, the sleeves come down. Jerry goes, well, I don't know. And he goes, you look fantastic, says the salesman. You just look incredible. And Jerry, he's still not sure, you know, but the guy is on him and he has sold suits for a long time. And he finally convinces Jerry that bending his knees and hunching his shoulders to make the suit fit is an okay proposition. So he plunks down his $100 and he walks out wearing this new suit. But he walks out with his knees bent and his shoulders hunched, kind of cricked over, just so that suit would fit him. And as he walks out, now, you know, where I come from in New York City, people are not shy about expressing their opinions to strangers. And Jerry's walking down the street and people are calling out to him, hey, dude, what's wrong with you? You're all hunched over. You don't look, you look weird. And people in New York City will just walk up to you and say that kind of stuff. And so they were making fun of him and calling his name down the neighborhood. And finally he came up to the church and we all looked at him and go, what's wrong with you? And he goes, well, I just got to bend my knees like this and hunch my shoulders. And doesn't this suit look great? And I kind of smiled. I said, sure, Jerry, it looks good. You know, well, you know, Jerry kept that suit and he kept wearing it day in and day out. And he kept bending his knees and hunching his shoulder. And it was kind of sad because he did it so long and was so convinced that that looked so good, that that was his suit, that he actually started damaging the muscles in his shoulder and his knees started giving him trouble because he was not using them right. And at the end of the day, friends, Jerry really damaged himself permanently by trying to wear a suit that just never fit him in the first place. Instead, says the scripture, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. It's interesting, the metaphor of clothing here that Paul uses. He uses it in Colossians and Galatians and elsewhere in the Pauline corpus, and it is all about wearing Christ, putting on the clothing of faith. And I think this story about my friend Jerry is illustrative for us because I think sometimes you and I and all of us in church, sometimes we're tempted to put on the wrong suit of clothing, the wrong set of values that aren't those values or that clothing that is Christ. And I wonder for you and for me, what is our call to think about that? You know, Paul writes in this passage, owe no one to anything except to love one another, for the one who loves has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And other commandments are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. So love then fulfills the law. Love then is the clothing that we put on when we put on Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to tell you that I don't know about you, but as we have been walking through these days of fire and pandemic and all the challenges that are before us in our country right now, I got to tell you that sometimes putting on kindness and compassion, in fact, putting on Christ is sometimes a tough call for me. I some days get up and I'm just tired. I some days wake up and I feel like I'm not sure where I'm going that day. And it's all, friends, about who and what we put on. Because if we step into the shoes that'll take us to the gospel of peace, as he writes in Ephesians, if we put on compassion, if we wear the suit of clothes that is forgiveness and grace, then we are going to be a different people. And we're going to go forward together. So the question really comes to you, to me, as we strive to be the church in this day, as we strive to be the ones who follow the way of life taught to us by Jesus. We have to really take one of those hard looks at ourselves that says, what am I wearing? What is the fashion of faith that I have chosen to put on? Do I bring to my life a sense of joy? Or do I bring to my life a sense of cynicism? Do I bring to the world and the people and the community around me a sense of openness, acceptance, or do I tend to slip into judgmental attitudes and thinking more about me than about others? And you see, it really has that metaphor, that understanding that when we put on Christ, it's like a new suit. And if the suit doesn't fit, like it does in Jerry's case today, and we contort our body to wear a suit that doesn't fit, we damage the body. We damage ourselves. We damage our church if the church is not living out its fullness in faith and in love and trust. And so we together choose the wardrobe of faith, don't we? We together choose the shoes. We choose the jacket and the shirt. And each item that we wear speaks to the world. And I think one of the reasons, of course, we'll never know this, but I think one of the reasons that Jesus picked clothing as a metaphor is because then, as now, clothing makes the man or the woman, as they say, because people show their social station. They show the amount of money they have by the clothes they wear. They show all manner of things. Clothing communicates radically then as now. And so if we're going to dress ourselves, how do we dress? What do we wear as the clothing, the wardrobe, the fashion of faith? I would suggest, my friends, that we together can pick out quite a nice wardrobe for each other. Wow, kindness looks good on you, Joe. Wow, that forgiveness, man, the way you have forgiven that person that hurt you, what a statement. On and on it goes. And it really requires that kind of self and collective reflection so that we together can present ourselves as acceptable community in the eyes of a wonderful God. And you know, the great gift is to see what does happen around this church, friends. The great gift is to see that there are many, many people with different perspectives, different journeys, different pathways in life in this community who give themselves to putting on Christ. We put on Christ when we play the carillons in the Sunday mornings and we gather to listen and greet one another. We put on Christ as our mask ministry grows through Nora's leadership and we provide literally hundreds of masks to people who need them in board and care facilities and nursing homes. And as we continue to give through our generous offerings, we expand the reach and the kind of clothing we put on as our United Methodist Church rises up through UMCOR, through our universities and our clinics and our hospitals and the ways we serve around the world. We have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the challenge now is to continue to do that and to do it with even more focus in these challenging times. And it comes down to, friends, the depth of our own faith commitment to God and to one another. For as we want to move forward, we put on Christ each and every day. So, you know, I try to do this, and if I were honest with you, I'd say, I don't get it done every morning. But I try to get up and think about what I'm putting on, what kind of attitude, what kind of way am I presenting this morning? Am I stepping into the day as a loving, positive energy in the world? Am I opening the door and greeting my neighbor? How? No matter what my neighbor said or did, how am I greeting and loving? How am I showing to the world the reality of who I am in Christ Jesus? So let us lay aside then the works of darkness, as Paul writes, and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery or licentiousness or jealousy, Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify his desires. So let us put on Christ. Let us have a hard look at ourselves and our church in the mirror, but let us also celebrate who we are and who we are becoming. And let us go faithfully, wearing the wardrobe of faith, the clothing of love and compassion, of justice, hope, and healing, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tamagimami melomalangi, me bororo tagine damuni, me adomai na numuni matintu, me dagalalo mamuni eburubura, me bakasada melomalangi, ni sile me pikimami na singongo na kakana erotiki mami, ni mukoda na ne mami palvalda, me bakakimami samukodo tinononra. Era sai por volta ve ki mam ni ka kuni koti ki mam gine vere ka bombule ki mam mena da ni sa no muni no matin tu kena kau kaua kena langi langi sa gani mundu amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, we come now to the time when we share a Holy Communion together. And I know wherever you are, you have before you the bread and the cup. And I know that wherever you are, we are linked by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us pray this prayer of great thanksgiving. Lord, be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. Oh, we lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, for we know it is right to give thanks and praise. It's right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all your company in heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you. And he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered in these different places, but with one community. And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Wherever we are now, let us take the bread and realize as we eat it, that this is the body of Christ given for us. And as we drink from this cup, wherever you are, whatever that cup looks like, it is the blood of Christ given for you. Let us pray. God, we feasted on your love, and we've come to know what it means to give ourselves fully as you gave yourself for us. Help us to go forward to give ourselves in love and joy and wonder as your people in this time and place. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Friends, we come to our time in worship when we celebrate the giving of our offerings and our tithes for the ministry of the whole church. You know, the old joke is that wherever two or more Methodists are gathered, we'll pass the offering plate. Well, yeah, in truth, we do this not because we're money hungry. We don't do this because we simply need to pay the electric bill. We do this because our church buildings, our community, even your pastors are trained and lifted up only so that we can be the church in the world offering healing, transformation, and hope. It's a simple thing to keep it narrow to the money, but it's part of the resources we offer when we give our whole selves to God. So I invite and urge you to give generously, and if you are in a position to be more generous, the times are difficult and the church is trying its best to do what it can to be a source of healing. You can certainly write a check and mail it to the church. You can write a check and drop it off, or if you want to go to the church's website at www.petalumiumc.org, you can arrange to have electronic giving. It's quite a simple process. Whatever you do, know that your gift matters. Know that your generosity is a sign of life in a time of difficulty. I thank you for all that you do and all that you give. Let us pray. Lord, we offer these gifts to you as just a token of our commitment to your Son Jesus and to the work he has called us to do in this world. Help us, God, push us forward, and as we use these gifts in your service, seek and open our hearts so that we might more generously approach the world through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our second hymn is Just As I Am.
Hear these words of benediction. Now may the God, whose name, whose very substance is love, call us in this moment to a deep and abiding love. Love of one another, love of strangers, even love of our enemies, in the name of the Creator, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.